Barbara, I just saw the OTC announcement. Can we talk about it for a little bit? What do you think this means?
Well, that's not too loaded a question.
I know.
So here's the deal. There's been a ton of stuff out there. Everybody and their brother are talking about the new OTC laws, and different folks are taking credit for it. Senator Grassley posted about how the hearing aid companies were nefarious, and other people are talking about this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. From our perspective, there's a lot of positives to take away. From our perspective, the visibility of hearing health care has never been more shining or bright. Everybody is aware, everybody's talking about hearing loss in a way that's never happened before. It's no longer the hidden disability. There's nothing hiding about it. Everybody understands that sooner or later, it's going to affect all of us. The degree that it affects us, the timing that it affects us, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And that increases the need for hearing health care in our country significantly. And
Well, and
everybody
Barbara,
knows, I'm sorry.
we're already having a crisis in audiologists. It feels like there's not, I mean, the research shows there's not enough audiologists to provide health care for hearing health care for the people who already need it. With all
That
this
is happening.
increase in, awareness, what does that mean?
Well, it means a lot of things. It means more opportunities for equipment that we sell, where an audiologist is not necessarily required. It means that there are screening pieces of equipment that non-audiologists can utilize. It means that people are going to have to figure out where they fit in the hearing loss spectrum, because the big takeaway from the OTC law, which we'll know exactly when it's published in October, is that these are for the purpose of self-diagnosing levels of disorder, and it's designed for mild to moderate. Who knows what that is on an individual? No one
Well,
knows.
remember in when we were in clinic and you would have someone come in and say, I can hear nothing, and they would have basically normal hearing, and then someone who's like, oh, every once in a while I struggle a little bit at church, and they're basically profound. I mean, this self-diagnosis is crazy. I don't, I
100%.
mean, yeah.
The degree to which people think they have a hearing loss is all over the place. And the only people who really can assess the degree of impairment and the impact on communicative abilities are audiologists. Having said that, in the beginning, audiologists may or may not be the point of entry, because this whole thing is designed to be self-identified and self-purchased. But I am not sure how many people are going to go into a big box store or someplace, pay $800 or $1,000 for something or some level of amplification that they think they might need or they think that could help them, as opposed to finding out what they really might need. So perhaps in the short term, I think the interest on good screening, good hearing identification, use of equipment that maybe doesn't need an audiologist, or use of audiologic services, I think will increase dramatically. How that will transcend to where people buy their products, I don't know. Will they go back to the big box store? I don't know. Will they have their healthcare professional help them choose? I don't know. But the point of entry, I think, is going to definitely increase the need for hearing healthcare professionals to provide screening and diagnostic services.
So when you talk about assessment equipment that doesn't require an audiologist, does that mean that we're trying to cut the audiologist out of the loop? That's a
No,
loaded
oh,
question
absolutely
too.
not. What?
I said that's a loaded question too.
Yeah, really. No. I don't think we should ever think about cutting the audiologist out of the loop, because audiologists, by definition, are those who can identify the communicative implications of the hearing loss and best determine what technology or what methodology would be best suited for that patient. That's not going to happen with a screening product. That's not going to happen with somebody who's going to buy something off the shelf. However, the benefit of Hearing Health Awareness, I think, is going to put a spotlight on audiologists to the opportunities that they can provide, whether it's an oral rehabilitative, well, whether it's in counseling, whether it's in other amplification type devices, whether it's a combination of products and services that are available. A lot of what audiologists do is sort of not always known. And I think the fact that the visibility of hearing healthcare issues are going to be prominent will shine a spotlight on what services audiologists can provide.
So if I'm an audiologist and I want to help these new self-identified people who have some level of hearing loss that they consider to be mild or moderate, what do I do in my office? What am I going to put in there? What kind of equipment are you, tell me the equipment type.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. Number one, obviously, if somebody wants to come in and schedule a full diagnostic evaluation, that's a no-brainer. They have the equipment. Fine, they come in, and then the audiologist can counsel that person as to the degree and the nature of the hearing impairment. That's number one possibility. Number two possibility is you buy equipment, such as, let's say, the GSI Pillow or the AudioStar Pro, and you could use that equipment coupled with the AMTAS. And so the patient could self-administer a test during the time, let's say the audiologist is working with other patients. So the patient is getting high quality diagnostic testing that gives a very, very specific indication of the degree of hearing loss with equipment that has been shown to be highly accurate because of the quality indicators and the way that the whole AMTAS program was developed. So you're utilizing your equipment that you have, you're maximizing the time in your office for both your patient and your time with other patients, and you're able to use that and counsel the patients the best next steps. And if the patient only wants to have a better definitive idea of their hearing and say thank you, well, okay, you provided a service. But you have the opportunity to further counsel the patients and say, well, I could counsel you on maybe you need this product, or maybe you need that product, or maybe you need to come back because there are other questions that need to be answered. But without that initial self-diagnosis or capability of AMTAS or AMTAS Pro, or even AMTAS Flex or something along those lines, that patient doesn't have definitive accurate capability.
Yeah, I think that those are all such good points. You know, it's really interesting when I talk to other audiologists. Sometimes, you know, they're already overwhelmed. They already have this, you know, this huge backlog just for basic audiometric evaluations, and the AMTAS would be perfect. Do they have to set the patient up, or can the patient set themselves up? Like, I wonder if they're.
I don't know. I would have to think. For based on the quality of the test, the placement of the headphone, the placement of the forehead bone oscillator should be done by someone who's been trained. It could be the office person. I don't think we want to do the patient setting it up because, in other words, the oscillator has to be a certain pressure on the forehead, the earphones. I mean, even though there's a self-check in terms of the placement, I think someone who's been trained how to position those transducers should do it. But that's all that's required. It certainly doesn't require an audiologist to position the transducer. And if you're using the Flex, pretty much anybody could just put headphones on a patient. That's a no-brainer. That's pretty much a no-brainer. And so while the Flex would give you an air conduction threshold evaluation, and I know it's a screener per se, that may be the entry point for some patients to just get an idea, am I normal, am I mild, am I moderate, what's my story? And for other patients who really want to know, they might need the whole bone and speech components of the diagnostic testing along with the audiometrics air conduction. And of course, we know, because audiologists have so many test opportunities, there's a lot more information that we can obtain, you know, with middle ear analysis and otoacoustic emissions and central auditory processing and binaural versus monaural and a whole host of other specialized testing that, in my opinion, becomes very important when trying to assess hearing loss and its communicative impact. I don't even think we know that enough. I don't think we even have enough tests yet to fully evaluate the impact of what hearing loss can do on communicative impairment. And I think research will only help us do a better job in the coming years.
It's really interesting because initially when we talked about like the OTC law and making the OTCs for self-diagnosis, I think that I, maybe some other audiologists were a little bit nervous at first, just that this was going to hurt audiology in some way. But I think that after like this discussion, I think it's actually going to be really helpful. And I think that audiologists are going to want to find those less time consuming ways to evaluate a patient who's curious about their hearing. And honestly, I also thought, you know, when I first heard it, of course, I mean, I don't want to say I'm like this dooms guy or something, but you know, when I first heard it, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to be able to buy these hearing aids for $22 and it's going to ruin them for audiology forever. And the more that I read and the more that I hear and the more that I learn from you and from, you know, our governing bodies and just articles, I don't think that's the case at all. I do think that, just like you said, this is kind of a really cool opportunity for audiology, and an educated patient base is going to really enhance their experience and give us an opportunity to help them more too.
Well, I think you nailed it with that and the term educated patient base. So what are they educated in and who is educating them? That's us. And so we're the ones, certainly can be a very big part of the education, but the more information every patient has about their his or her own hearing capabilities or condition, will make a better case for them to get the proper treatments. And so the treatments are going to be self-identified and the treatments will be professionally identified. And again, these OTCs are limited to those who are moderately impaired. Anyone beyond that, and of course, anyone under the age of 18, are still required to see a hearing healthcare professional, specifically one would think an audiologist. However, I think with the advent of all this new information and awareness, I think audiologists are going to be very, very busy, and so busy that something like self-administered testing, like such available in the AMTES and AMTES Pro, utilizing existing clinical equipment is a no-brainer because you can do two things at one time, and your initial investment essentially gets utilized twice as quickly and twice as much, twice as often. And it becomes, in my opinion, an essential component of a clinical practice.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, the other thing that I wanted to point out is I have seen on social media and just talking to audiologists how creative everyone is getting in the education. It's not just education in their offices, but education outreach. And I think that, you know, like you said too, this is going to increase our patient load significantly. I'm very impressed with the way that audiologists are taking this information that we have limited right now. You know, again, we have the full ruling coming out later, but they're taking this initial information and they're like, you know what? Let's make some lemonade with our lemons and see who we can reach. General practice physicians, pharmacists, where are these over-the-counter hearing aids going to be sold? And, you know, we're really able to be super creative to get patient education on the forefront.
Well, and you bring up a good point, because these alternative pathways, I would bet that there'll be opportunities to sell screening equipment to those places. Oh, you don't know if you have a hearing loss? Oh, you don't know the degree? Well, maybe we can screen you, and you could do whether it's a flex or a portable air conduction audiometric test. I mean, there are places that will sell these things where a patient might want to have some idea of what they're walking into. Again, as you pointed out, these items are not inexpensive. They're not $29. I saw a box of product coming, $800, in a box that looked like next to aspirin. I mean, really? But that's the way it's going to be rolled out, at least I think. I think so. But the biggest part is the awareness and the spotlight on this part of the world that we live in, but many, many people did not. and it was to be avoided, and it meant you're old. And now everybody's out in the sunshine, and everybody knows that we need to be more aware of the impact of hearing loss. And so it's very positive, in my opinion, in so many ways.
I agree 100%. I mean, I know that as we continue to learn more and more, I'm feeling better and better about the whole OTC thing. And I think that, you know, we're doing what we set out to do when we went to college, and that is help people live their lives to the fullest with the best communication possible.
Correct. That's right. I agree.
Great. Thanks, Barbara, for talking to me, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
Thanks, Laura. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.